Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 69, episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, February 12th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Jack O'Brien, Miles Gray, Second Rain Podcast. That's courtesy of Stuart Thomas, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Yes, it is I, Miles Gray. Also known as Blackenese experimental artist, your boy Kusama. It is early, and I didn't have an instrumental to load up to do a fire AK, so just hold that.
Yeah, we need it from you sometimes to center ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Zeit gang.
You know, Lady Gaga also has off nights.
I know.
As we saw on the ground.
I don't know if you can consider that an off night. That was... she gives 110% every time.
And sometimes you can't start at 110% because you have nowhere to go at the end.
Starting at an 11.
Yep.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian Kimia Bepornia.
Yes, hi. Thank you.
Hi. Hello. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, of course.
Did you watch the Grammys?
I watched Just Gaga, and you're right. It went big.
Yeah, start big.
Started big.
Yeah, when you're hair whipping in the first verse.
Yeah.
Right.
What'd she do to that microphone, though?
I don't know.
She grabbed that stand and what?
Was
it's like a mechanical bull. Yeah.
Especially when the that part, and she was a tornado. I was like, wow.
But that's what I wanted from that part.
Yeah, at that point. But you know, the hair whipping off top. Just give me some space. Build.
Start
build.
Small.
Build.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, anyway. The critique of people I hate the most is that they try too hard, and so I will never say that. I will never criticize Lady Gaga for trying too hard, but she tries very hard.
I don't know if she tried. She did too hard.
Does.
She did too hard.
She does.
She does so hard.
Yeah.
Patron saint of doing the most,
I think
Lady
she's,
Gaga.
I think she's, like, awkward, and I respect it, like, because, like, even her Super Bowl performance, everyone's like, it was so amazing. And it was, but she also, like, looks awkward a lot of the time.
Well, she just moves differently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She definitely moves differently.
She's not, you know, she's not, Beyonce is its own thing. You know, J-Lo is its own thing.
Right.
And Lady Gaga, she's a little more, you know, stiff.
Right.
But that's just, like, that's
what I love it.
Yeah. I think that's what makes her a little bit more accessible, too, because she's not, like, so fine-tuned, like, in her dancing
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, you're like, I can move
you're like hell
that.
Yeah, like,
that's
just
right.
Live your truth, Lady Gaga.
That's what's great about her, and we should never forget it.
Yeah, and shout out to Cardi B, although, come on, I like that Offset seemed like he was, like, a behind-the-scenes type dude
right.
For most of the day, but anyway.
Yeah.
We digress, and also shout out to Childish Gambino.
Yeah, shout out to Childish Gambino,
shout
out to
him.
The Grammys
yeah.
For...
These shout outs are really going somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes, but it was interesting. I just had the Grammys on in the background, no music, so I couldn't hear what was going on, but I saw the Travis Scott performance where he was like in a cage, and then they released like 100 teenagers who then started climbing up the sides of the cage. And I was like, oh, the Grammys, like whoever produces the Grammys, like really feeling themselves here. They're like, okay, so get this. It's just like, just have them on stage, like performing, like feeling the energy. But this is what got them in trouble with Ariana Grande. They were like, okay, so we control.
You do our thing.
Yeah, you do our version of a live performance. And she was like, no, fuck you.
Thank you.
Next.
There it is.
Hey. Yeah, that's you can catch my Ariana Grande based set this week at the pit.
Just all Ariana Grande song puns.
Yeah.
Well, Kimmy, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First,
okay.
We're going to take our listeners through what we're talking about today. We're going to check in with the Aladdin trailer. There's a new one out where we finally get to see Will Smith, and it is strange. We're going to talk about the newest Coke flavor to be introduced in 10 years. Coca-Cola flavor. And Fox and Friends, just a fun joke that they had that grossed our entire office out. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the Denver teacher strike. We're going to talk about Amy Klobuchar. We're going to talk about the Green New Deal, all of that and plenty more. But first, Kimia, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh my gosh. Let's see. I look up a lot of birds, I guess. A lot of like, I type in funny bird. That's
like bird that learns to say a funny thing.
Or that could come across.
Funny mostly looking birds?
Yeah, funny looking birds is what I'm into. But I don't really need to search those anymore. I just follow all these bird Instagrams, I suppose.
I was about to say, I don't need to search that because I've seen them all.
Oh, right. Yeah. And I've seen them all.
I've seen what you can do, birds. That's
How did you get into being really into birds? Is this like a thing? Like you, is this a lifelong passion or something in your latter days?
It's more recent, I think.
Okay.
I really liked pigeons. I like that they are stupid sky trash, and it's just there everywhere, and they're hilarious to look at. And so I was just like, "Oh, pigeons are always my thing." And then I started noticing other birds, you know, just taking a walk around the street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, "Boy, oh boy, I feel like when I'm 70, I might turn into a birder." I might be able to tell you what bird flew by what sound it made. And I'm not proud of that. But
I'm picturing you like Russell Crowe's character in A Beautiful Mind looking at those pigeons, like you're having all these things connecting and your mind is just like, pigeons are fucking hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
that's the outcome instead of game theory.
Yep.
What is something you think is overrated? Or underrated. We can go in either order that you'd prefer.
Okay, let's see. Underrated, maybe. Is it overrated? This is an in between. Seltzer water.
Okay.
Is both overrated because everybody talks about LaCroix, right? And then underrated because people have started to hate it, I guess, and I want them to not. I think seltzer water should just like always be a baseline. Right. Good thing.
Right.
Well, it's like one of those things where it's explosive debut, everyone's hooked. And then it has to just settle in its place of, that's now a thing that people will keep in their homes.
Yes, but then I think they're turning on it. I think people are like, what the fuck? What were we doing?
Do you have people who are like former LaCroix boys?
Yes.
Really?
People are like, why do we like this? And then there was that whole thing a couple months ago with the cockroach pesticide.
I think that's when people turned on it. And it's a bullshit myth. But I also don't mind people turning on LaCroix.
Yeah, fine. Go ahead. Yeah. More for me. And to bathe in.
But the idea that there is like some more pure version of seltzer water out there, people are like, I don't fuck with LaCroix anymore. Now I'm on to
like Spritz, the Target brand or something.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, everybody's on that Polar seltzer.
Yeah, Polar
That's
is the new hot
shit. The seltzer hipsters. Rain.
Talking Rizzle, I love the peach one. Was one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Is that like a Kirkland brand or something?
I have no idea.
You can get it wherever. Whatever. Anyway. But yeah, shout out to all the listeners who, when we first talked about the LaCroix cockroach thing, they're like, no, you got to get on Polar.
Right.
The flavors are better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, if somebody, I don't know, do they sell it everywhere in LA, Polar?
I don't know. This is the first I'm hearing about Polar.
See? Wow. We have a blind spot. We
have a seltzer blind spot. You haven't tried Polar?
Guess not.
Oh my God.
Well, hit Kimmy with some flavors, like, gang. That we need to get on. Or someone just fucking send us some.
Yeah, man.
Please.
Especially if you like LaCroix. Oh my God. Polar is so much better than LaCroix. Okay.
Also, yes. Anyone who works for marketing at Polar, I know you do not listen to this, but maybe someone has somebody that does. Sponsor the show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We'll stop saying LaCroix and we'll exclusively refer to this shit as Polar.
Right.
That's how easily we're bought.
Very easily. So I don't know if that was your underrated or overrated.
Dude, you know what? I don't either.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about the ratedness about?
Sure. Well, okay. Since we got Gaga on the brand, Stars Born is overrated.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Bad. You and Sean Penn have a lot not in common.
What?
She wrote some shit in Deadline, an open letter to be like, Bradley Cooper needs to be recognized for this.
Was it the performance or the direction?
I think it was, I don't know. It was hard to tell because it was like literally taking a trip through like Sean Penn's head.
Right.
Like, and it was all over the map of him just caping for Bradley Cooper.
Oh, so he has high praise for it.
Oh, he fucking loves it.
Okay.
A journey up Sean Penn's asshole with Sean Penn's head.
Wow.
What did you think? What was the overrated part?
I don't know. I sort of am like, I saw it maybe 3 weeks after it had been out. So I had suffered everyone being like, you got to see A Star Is Born. Oh, it was so good. Right. And I cried and blah, blah, blah. And then I went and I watched it and I was sort of like, gosh, why did we remake this movie for like a fourth time? Mm-hmm. Now?
Yeah.
In like 2018? Like for what? for what?
Yeah, because you had to see what it's like to be a star these days. You have to go on SNL, and that's annoying.
Ooh, yeah, totally. Ugh.
You gotta fucking smash up your pills with your boot heel just to snort them.
Yeah, that was cool.
Ugh.
Gosh.
And then get a butt injection.
Yeah, and then there's, I mean, I love Bradley Cooper because I'm OG Alias fan. Like, I love Alias, and he was in that. But he was not my favorite part of that. And then just to everyone being like, God, he's so hot. I'm like, I don't know, man. He was a slurry vomit drunk. They thought he was hot in A Star Is Born. And I was like, all these things people are thinking about A Star Is Born.
What's wrong with our society? Ted Bundy's hot.
Right,
Jackson Maine is hot.
Yeah, yikes.
Jackson Maine, anyway.
And then, like, it was his real dog in that movie, and everyone was like, oh, how cute. Bradley
Cooper. That was his real dog?
Yeah, it's his real dog.
Yeah.
I guess I'm mad about everything everybody likes about that movie.
I bet he was real method about it and made his dog think that he was
killing. Whoa. Spoiler alerts.
Oh, really? All right.
I don't know.
I just like to think, in case anyone has
made his dog think he was Kaiser Soze. Yeah, there is like a big, I don't know, I feel like I'm being inundated with propaganda, except I know it's not propaganda because it would be super random, but Sean Penn writing that letter, and then Desus from Desus and Mero,
listening
to that over the weekend, he was like, that's my favorite movie in like a long
time. He's like,
time.
I paid $20 to rent it, even though I had the screener, I just couldn't find it, but I had to see it. I don't know if he's joking, but... maybe it resonated.
I literally was waiting for the 2 weeks after the movie where everybody turns on it. Because there is that first like a moment where everybody's like, this is great. And then you get these think pieces that are like, was it great?
They're like, hold on.
This is what happened for real.
Right.
And then it didn't happen to this movie.
Yeah,
so
because
upset.
It's the best movie that's been made in America in the past 20 years.
Oh my God.
But that's how Sean Penn was talking about it. It was like one of those essays that accompanies the Criterion collection. He was like, anyone who didn't vote for Bradley Cooper to be best director and best picture and best actor, like, is fooling themselves, essentially.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's weird, because Sean Penn doesn't take himself seriously. I mean, there was that one Oscars where he reprimanded Chris Rock for making a joke about Jude Law. He's like, I'll tell you who Jude Law is. He's one of our finest actors.
Oh, wow.
Anyways.
Just the last line of that Sean Penn open letter was just, A Star Is Born is simply everything that movie should be. If we honor anything, it should be it.
Wow.
This should be it. Sorry.
Well, that makes sense to me because it's like there's some empty like star worship in what happens with Bradley Cooper's character. Like it feels unearned, but I could see if you yourself are so into celebrity and like, you know, the sanctity of like a star's career, like I'm sure Sean Penn is, that like he would be like, this is the New Testament.
Right. And he's like, this is what it's like being a star. It's tough, dude. Right. Y'all don't get it.
Right.
Man.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Personal myth or just any myth?
Any myth.
Any kind. Up to you.
Yikes. Okay, well, I'm going to pop a personal one in there real quick. Hey, everybody, I'm not black. I'm going to toss that in there.
What?
Yep, yeah, because you guys get Lacey Mosley on here, and she's, like, big on telling people that I am black and I am not, so I got to dispel that no matter where I go. Yes, yes.
Like, mistakenly or to fuck with you?
Not to fuck with me, yeah. Yes.
Wait, so what does she do?
Dude, like, people think I'm black because of, like, my hair, and I guess, I don't know. What else? But I get that all the time. People are like, are you biracial? You gotta be at least half black. And I'm like, no, I'm fully Persian. But Lacey's like, nah, no way.
She's just gonna deny my identity
and then just go around telling people I am actually
black.
Lacey, I'm absolutely not.
Leave that one alone.
Thank you. And then let's see. Oh, a myth.
I love that Lacey just always assumes somebody's up to like some broad like scam or something. It's like, your life is probably based on a lie, if I had to guess.
Gosh, she like on Martin Luther King Day or whatever made a post about me as a black queen. And I'm like, good God, Lacey, please, no more.
Oh, wow. Well,
That's enough of a myth.
Yeah, that's a great myth.
Just like that. That's how Lacey fucks with you. She's like, nah, you're not Persian. I see it in you, honey.
Let's talk Aladdin, you guys. The Aladdin trailer is out, and Will Smith looks like he was rendered by the same animators who made Polar Express like 15 years ago. He looks like dead behind the eyes.
Isn't it him, though?
It is, but so that was Tom Hanks in the Polar Express
right.
movie.
But yeah, it's called Uncanny Valley.
Yeah, he looked like weird and dead behind the eyes.
Yo, I shout out to his shoulders and back muscles.
Well, so here's my question, because one of the issues is it feels like his body, his gestures are not matching his face, like the words that his face is saying.
To be fair, we only saw him say like two things.
Right.
But it's like, I went really deep on this, like Zapruder film style. And it just, I'm wondering if they are just rendering his body, like that's not his real body and it's like CGI and there's just a mismatch or something. Because it felt to me like they photoshopped a too small version of his face onto a CGI Robin Williams character's body from
Interesting.
Aladdin.
I did not look that deeply into it.
Yeah, nope.
I was, again, just impressed by his muscle mass. Because, that drawing from the original one, that genie was fucking barrel-chested, like, winged.
He was.
V-shaped torso. Yeah. So they came through with that. But, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, Guy Ritchie, I didn't realize he was directing it.
I know.
Until the end, I was like, oh, Guy Ritchie?
That was the real twist ending.
This
of that
is a
trailer.
G-Rich joint? Okay.
Yeah.
And we were kind of hard pressed to figure out his last great work as a director. And
I think it was Snatch. So it's been a while.
I couldn't tell you.
Did you like Sherlock Holmes? Did you watch those movies?
I did not. Well, my dad did. That's made for dads, I think.
Yeah.
My dad loved it.
There's some cool scenes, but I was never like, yo, that was a good movie.
Right.
We'll see, Guy Ritchie.
It was fine.
I'm buckling up.
I will say that this might not be indicative of the finished product. Like the CGI on Jurassic World, people were up in arms about how bad that was going to be.
Really?
But it just kept getting better with each trailer release because they hadn't finalized it in the early stages. And so, it just looked like a video game dinosaur.
Like, yo, that raptor was a guy with a bunch of little white circles on his body. You're like, oh, that's the mocap suit that they hadn't animated yet.
Yeah, and then they ended up being pretty good in the movie. So it's possible they've just given us a partially rendered genie, and they're still working on it. Which, if they're not still working on it, they need to be, because it didn't look great.
Note taken.
Let's talk about Coke's new flavor, orange vanilla.
Yeah.
What?
10 yes. years. It's been 10 years since regular Coke has had a new flavor.
The last one was what, vanilla? Cherry.
Yeah, I think so. Vanilla. No, I think vanilla was
vanilla,
the last one.
Vanilla Coke.
And now they're going into orange vanilla Coke. So we're talking dreamsicle land.
Wow.
Last year they did all those wild diet Coke flavors that we tried on the show.
Yeah.
And we were not very impressed with. No one was like, oh, this is my new drink.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. The whole thing is now that people are, on this LaCroix Polar Seltzer.
Sure.
Not fucking with Sugar Train. Coke has had to figure out a way to try and get people interested again. So this is, this is the bet they're laying down. Saying, yo, we know you like the orange vanilla flavor. Can you bring it in?
Well, it's weird to release a new flavor because now every place or every restaurant has that machine, the soda machine, where you can pick a soda and add those flavors to it.
And I think they're gambling that we fuck that up and they're like, we get this balance exactly right.
Right.
Sure.
That machine, I always end up getting some shit that sounds good in my head. And I'm like, peach ginger ale. And I'm like, not the best. Not the best thing I could have got.
Yeah, I always go Diet Coke with a little cherry. It's a little something about me, guys.
A risk taker.
I do wonder if they're going in this direction because there seems to be two directions that food is going. There's, on one hand, more healthier and people are eating more consciously. And then on the other, just complete dumping sugar and fat into your body. And so this is their attempt to double down, I guess. Maybe it'll be sweeter than regular Coke.
That's what it sounds like.
Right.
Well, I think coming out at the end of the month, so we'll have to bring it in.
Yeah.
And give it the true judgment.
What if we melted one of those dreamsicles
into your
Coca-Cola?
Coke. That's the part where it's weird. I could orange vanilla soda, I would be like, okay.
Yeah.
But it's then
plus Coke.
Factoring in the Coke part.
Weird.
Yeah.
We shall see.
If Coke just made a orange vanilla creamsicle soda. Right. That would be dope.
Well, look, let's just let the people at Coca-Cola get back to
their... let's talk more about this,
Get
Miles.
Back to their agenda of sucking the earth fucking dry of water.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's talk about Fox and Friends, finally, because host Pete Hegseth had a moment on the show where He decided it was time to tell the truth to the American people.
So check this moment of clarity out from the host.
As I told you, my 2019 resolution is to say things on air that I say off air. I don't think I've washed my hands for 10 years. Really, I don't really wash my
hands
ever.
Help me.
No, I inoculate myself. It's just not, germs are not a real thing. I can't see them. Therefore, they're not real.
So you're becoming immune to all the
exactly.
bacteria.
Exactly. I can't get sick.
Now, you know, I don't believe that he has not washed his hands in 10 years because you would be ostracized.
I'm sure he has incidentally washed them while in the shower.
In the shower.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Although like he just accidentally.
You know,
like,
he might put on those disc gloves. He's like, nope, I'm staying
but
true.
But he certainly has not done dishes. He's a man that's like, no, wife, you do my dishes.
Yeah.
Yes.
What I will believe, though, is he probably doesn't wash his hands coming out the bathroom.
No, I guarantee he doesn't.
Because he has that kind of, because this is the thing, like, you know, at first, a lot of people were writing up full-on articles about, like, this fallacy of, like, germs being invisible or whatever.
Oh, my God, that is also upsetting.
And then people were like, oh, you triggered the libs. Like, yeah, dude. He's like, my deadpan humor style is crushing it. But this is a kind of logic that I see being used a lot, which is sort of like, he seems the kind of person like, I have a strong immune system, so I don't get sick. Therefore, it must mean germs are not real.
It's the flu shot thing that we've talked about on this show.
Right.
Like that because you don't get the flu and because you're young and in good health that you shouldn't get a flu shot. And it's like, well, you might be carrying the flu and killing little children and elderly people. And same deal with like not washing your hands like that. That might work for you because you're a young strapping man in his peak Pete Hegseth, but I don't even know what he looks like. But yeah, I mean, this is like the height of privilege, just being like, yeah, I don't wash my hands. Like,
well, yeah, it's immunity privilege. Yeah, you're not. Yeah. There are people who are immunocompromised who could not fucking even entertain the idea of going somewhere that could be dirty or whatever. But you know.
You want to read a really infuriating portion of history? Read the
all of it?
Effort. The effort of the guy who like came up with germ theory to try and get doctors who deliver babies to wash their hands, and they just refused because they thought it was beneath them
to wash hands.
To wash hands in between delivering one baby and the next, and so women would die in childbirth like unnecessarily for years and years, and then when they finally incorporated it into the routine, like 90% of these people's lives were saved.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
In junior year of my high school, we had to write a research paper. That was like the thing every junior had to do. And my best friend wrote a paper, like an 11-page paper about hand washing.
Oh,
wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yep. And apparently, to really wash your hands, you're supposed to soap and water them for two happy birthdays. So you got to sing happy birthday twice through for it to be clean enough.
And use boiling water, I've heard.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Just burn all your skin up.
Just fire, actually. It's the cleansing power of the flame.
But I remember, this is like a 80s stand-up comedy point of view where it's like anti-science, being anti-science and like like society is like cool or something. And it's just like, I don't know. You're just bad at humor, Fox News, I think is the issue.
When you look though at just sort of the kinds of science takes though people have had on Fox, at first I can see why some people were like, here they go again.
Right.
Because Bill O'Reilly on Wonkette, they put together like a few, like in the past they've always reported on weird shit that they say. But there was like a time Bill O'Reilly like challenged an atheist like over the tides and say like, well, that's God. And like the atheist is like, that's like the moon and the gravitational pull. And then O'Reilly's like, oh yeah, who put the moon there? God.
Right.
So checkmate. What? And then other times people were like, is the metric system why planes are crashing? Like, so, you know, Fox is not the place to get your science takes.
No.
But, I hope Pete at least uses some Purell and do not shake his hand when he comes out of the bathroom.
Oh yeah, nobody touched that guy.
That's fine. If he wants to kill off the rest of Fox News, do it on his own time.
But if he is serious, and you're acting like you were joking, Pete Hegseth, but if you are serious, go lick the floors of a hospital if germs are invisible and they don't exist, my man. Pull up with that energy.
And also stop washing your hands when you go to the shower. I want to see literal flies buzzing around your
just your hands.
Oh, God. Can you miss someone having to describe someone like, yo, their hands fucking stink. It's just the weirdest statement to say.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And so is the teacher union striking.
Yeah.
Across in these United States. This time it is in Denver. The teachers there are on strike because they want to be paid a reasonable
properly.
Living wage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 70,000 teachers right. on strike, or 71,000. Yeah. Because it took 15 months of negotiating with the school district and they got fucking nowhere.
Right.
And the whole, this is kind of a unique situation because it's not the usual, like, I mean, it is overpay, but the pay structure in Denver is really kind of confusing because they use these like bonuses that are like incentivized,
right.
but they're inconsistent and teachers themselves won't even know when they hit. Cause like sometimes they're like, I made $4,000 more last year cause this like weird growth bonus hit,
right.
but I didn't know when it was coming. So their whole thing is like, yo, get rid of the bonuses. Use that money that you were going to use to give bonuses and just increase our base pay.
Yes.
Because we cannot financially plan when I'm rolling the dice all the time for these inconsistent bonuses. So, I mean, this seems like a very, very easy thing to resolve
mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the money's there. You're just taking it away from these bonuses that you think are working and put them into base pay. But they are at a standstill. And the governor doesn't really want to get involved yet. I think he was saying, like, I think they can resolve this on their own. But as I always say, give teachers what the fuck they want because they are helping fucking educate people.
Yes.
And they are the first line of defense against ignorance most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Right. Man, teachers must, teachers really don't make a lot, I think, because I remember every elementary school teacher I ever had would mention how much they do not make money in class.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
That's the
yeah.
thing they would always talk about. They're like, well, I bought you all pencils, but remember, I'm just a teacher.
Right.
Remember, oh,
I could use some money.
My walking cane broke.
Yeah.
It's like, isn't that a broomstick with a ruler? I couldn't afford a real one.
I had to make it.
I'm 32.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, yo, the first time I realized my teacher had two jobs. I saw her at Macy's,
oh
or it
gosh.
Was the May Company back, or no, it was Robinson's May.
Robinson's May,
yeah.
yes.
She was working the beauty counter, and I walked through, and I saw her spraying perfume, and I was like, Mrs. Heacox? And she was like, oh, hi. And I was shook.
Oh, my God.
Because, you know, when you're 8, 9 years old, you just think you have one job.
Yeah.
Right. And then you don't realize that their teachers are getting paid fuck all. And then afterwards... like all the other kids like, oh yeah, like I've seen her there too. And she was explaining, she's like, yo, they're not paying me enough here.
Yeah.
So I get down at the beauty counter.
Jeez.
And so many teachers are Uber drivers too. I met so
yes.
many Uber drivers who are also teachers.
Right.
So just, my God, don't make it already hard for these people to take care of your children.
Yes.
And educate them.
Also, your kids are shitty. Like, kids are mean.
Yeah,
man, I was shitty.
Pay kids more pay teachers more.
If I get those millions of dollars, there are a few teachers I'm going to have to break off with a check or two. Like, thank you
yeah.
for not throwing.
For putting up with
me. For
trying
to get me expelled.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, this payment method is really diabolical because it's taking sort of the psychology of American capitalism the way, you know, some people make it big. Even if it's 1% of the population, those people get super rich. And so we see them and we assume, oh, we can get there too.
Right.
And so like by putting some of the money in bonuses that are kind of given out randomly, you are basically messing with people mentally. And it's good that like the only way to fight something like that is by organizing collectively
yeah.
and having a big enough power to, you know, back you up.
Yeah, and they see that 1% and you're like, oh, what you don't realize is that a lot of that success has been predetermined by, you know, societal structures.
Right.
But again, well, we can act like it's a fairy tale story.
That is why we cover that up as vigorously as possible in our mass media, the role that parents and inherited wealth have to play in American success. Let's talk about Amy Klobuchar.
She has entered the ring. Another challenger for the presidential nomination of 2020.
Yeah.
She announced on Sunday, the people who came out in Minnesota, it was snowing.
I know.
And I don't, you know, I have that California privilege. It looked cool to me. I don't know how it was for the locals, but she was out there, announced her candidacy. People are with it. And, you know, last week there were a lot of stories coming out about how she was just a, like, horrific person to work for. That like she would like chew people out. They said one time she threw a binder of like a report and it hit an aide once. But then someone who worked there said she threw it, but she didn't mean for it to hit somebody. She
right.
just threw it because she's angry. And someone asked her about that point blank. They're like, what about these stories? And she just said, you know, someone also pointed to the fact that there's a lot of turnover in her office for staff. And she said, yes, I can be tough. And yes, I can push people. I have high expectations for myself. I have high expectations for the people that work for me. But I have high expectations for this country. In the end, there are so many great stories of our staff that have been with me for years. So I don't think this is really that big of a deal. She's a very achieving, high achieving person.
Yeah.
And I've had people I work for who were very demanding. And at first I was like, yo, this person is out their fucking head. And then typically by the end of it, I was like, damn, I was a lot better because of this person's insistence. But I don't know if she's really on some like terrifying type shit. Cause there were rumors. Now, this is a rumor. It's not journalism. This is not published anywhere. This is an allegation that like a staffer shaved her legs once because she was like too busy.
Oh.
Right.
So, I mean, if we're getting into that that territory, that's a little bit weird.
Well, it depends on if they were willingly, they were like, oh, you're too busy to shave your legs. Here, I'll take. Like if it was a.
Yeah, if she's like, Rob!
Sure.
Right.
Right.
If it's like the character from Veep who's like her right hand.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Know. But it's like, I'm sure, hasn't like a busy man had his face shaved?
I'm sure.
There you go.
I mean, look, Mitt Romney, didn't he iron some shit with him in the clothes?
I think
ironed his own pants while wearing them something. I mean, I think maybe more stories will come out. And there are many other aides, too, have been like, look, she is ride or die for her staff, like, once you're in there.
Right.
And I think, like, anything, you know, I don't know the full extent, but I do know people. There are some people who have a very low threshold for adversity in a job and can start to implode very quickly if it's, like, not kumbaya all the time and someone is. You know, someone might press you if you did a bad job. That's not wrong. That's just, you know, there's standards. But yeah, if you're like throwing shit at people, you gotta cool that.
Sure. Yeah.
At the same time, I think we should resolve that whenever covering a woman who is running for president in 2020, we should just try to steer clear of stuff that doesn't have to do with how good a president they would be. Like, I don't know.
Based on their moods?
Right. Based on their moods or like, you know, likability is another way that people, you know, hold women to a different standard than men. And I don't know if this would be even a story if people were like, you know, Chris Christie really pushes people hard.
Yeah, he threw a folder
because
he was passionate.
Right. I don't know that that would even be a thing.
There was one person who was like, I cried every day.
Right.
And I was like, well, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard out here working on the Hill.
It's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. And you hear that stuff all the time about, like, Steve Jobs was worshipped as a saint of like American capitalism.
Fucking tyrant.
He was really, really hard to work for.
It was those stories about he would just pull up into like the like labs where they were working on technology. He's like, I want this thing to do this. And they're like, that technology doesn't exist. And he's like, fucking do it or I'll find somebody who will fucking make it work.
Yeah.
Sure.
And they're like, okay.
Yeah, but a crazy man's a genius and a crazy woman is crazy.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, let's hold her to the same standard that we held Steve Jobs to. And if she goes beyond that, if she's like making it so that nobody can work or it's like getting in the way of her ability to do her job or the prospective job of being president, then sure, it should be brought up as a, you know, potential critique. But if it's just a thing of like, well, I hear she's a real, you know what, behind the scenes, it's like, fuck that, man.
Yeah. B-I-T-C-H, right. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think we should have learned from 2016.
Well, yeah, and I think this is the other thing, too, is she is a formidable candidate. You know what I mean? Like, she could pull some votes in the Midwest. Like, she's very popular.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she started off saying, she's like, I might start just in Wisconsin straight up top.
Yeah.
Because no, everybody was ignoring Wisconsin in 2016.
Sure.
So, you know, I am excited.
Right.
And just the way she handled that fucking Brett Kavanaugh back and forth during the confirmation, when he was asking her if she gets fucked up.
Right.
And she was like just did it the most like adult way of like.
Yeah.
No.
She made him seem like a child.
Yes.
So what are you trying to say, my man?
No, I don't black out. Do you?
Yeah.
What?
Holy shit.
Whoa.
She's like,
I wish she just went, for real? just to that.
Okay. Uh-huh. Question answered.
Yeah. Is she, I actually don't know too terribly much about her politics. Is she left center? Where's her?
Gee, she's pretty progressive. She's not the most, but I think she's very, you know, I don't see anything too, it'll be interesting how people try and hit her from the left.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
But we'll see.
Right. All right. Let's talk about the Green New Deal, speaking of the left. So AOC and Ed Markey unveiled their Green New Deal plan, and it's got some, you know, really lofty, some people are saying unrealistic goals for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the rollout was a bit of a mess, and I don't know, it might have opened them up to some criticism that might be unwarranted given what is actually in the plan right now.
Yeah, well, there's some people who are getting really microscopic about picking it apart. I think the one criticism that I think is sound, or at least based in science, is about the fact that the Green New Deal doesn't really address one of the major problems for greenhouse emissions or carbon emissions is sprawl.
Right.
Because like America is built so spread out, it means a lot of people travel many miles every day to get to work.
Right.
And the way that our cities are planned, like they're only exacerbating those problems. So even if there was, you know, like the thing about saying like, well, we should get to like California should be 100% electric vehicles.
Right.
Okay, that's one dimension. But to address sprawl, there are a few people who are like, that would really be a way to tackle many different things. Because right now, like it is a good jobs bill. I mean, it would put people to work. But the issues that it's really trying to tackle, they say a lot are sort of born out of the idea that everything's so spread apart. So you could address the housing crisis and emissions if you use money to create a little bit better planned, like more housing dense areas near job centers. Because right now, a lot of people have to commute a long time, especially if you are lower income or a person of color.
Yeah.
The distance you travel for jobs, you know, you see articles about like this man walked 40 miles a day to his job and then the guy gave him a car.
Right.
And it's mm-hmm. like, that's exactly what we're talking about. There's people who have to, that's how they survive. Let's try and figure out a way to actually make people's living situations less dependent on traveling those long miles.
Nah, rich people are going to take care of that. They're just going to keep giving people cars. I think we can feel like.
Yeah, but electric cars now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Look at that.
Come on, rich people.
And
that
electric
should be
cars,
the plan.
But that's the thing. Like, that's we're not even if we had it right now, like, technology isn't fully there to be like, yeah, boom, electric cars, everything's 100% electronic,
right.
Electric cars right now. I mean, so,
yeah.
You know, this is, at the very least, we're moving in a direction mm-hmm. where it is actually trying to give guidance on how we are going to address climate change in a actual, you know, feasible way.
Right.
But this is a thing. This is it's a living thing. It's always evolving. So
yeah.
There's also this FAQ that was put out by AOC's camp, but not necessarily her, with her blessing on the day of the release, that seems to be working off some assumptions that aren't actually in the proposal, like that they're going to put stricter contingencies on dairy farmers and paying people who don't want to work and commitment not to go nuclear. And so a lot of the criticisms are about things that aren't actually in the bill. They're in this FAQ that just wasn't handled correctly. It was put out and it's probably an earlier version of it that doesn't actually reflect like the most up-to-date version of what they were proposing. And a lot, like if you Google Green New Deal, like a lot of the coverage in the past couple of days has been about like why they really bungled this rollout. It's like
yeah.
that horse race politics shit where they just cover politics as if it's theater. And it's just like, here, they should have presented this better.
Sports game.
Yeah. Somebody was saying people are trying to take the focus away from the big picture and focus on these little typos. And I can understand how that is frustrating. The Economist kind of gave a more thorough critique of the bill, basically saying that it, you know, in addition to taking on climate change, it also like throws out big goals about, you know, jobs and universal basic income. And it's basically tear down American society and build it back up from the ground up is what you could interpret this as taking. But a quote that kind of helped me put what this would require into perspective was a guy named Ken Caldera, who's an atmospheric researcher at Carnegie Institution for Science. And he was saying, in my own subjective assessment, getting to near zero emissions over the next decade would be physically possible, but sociopolitically infeasible. Then he said, during World War II, up to 60% of the national GDP was directed toward the war effort. If we were to mobilize around the climate problem the way we mobilized around the fight against Germany and Japan, then we could possibly do this. So like that's,
well, how about this? This is a way greater threat than Germany and Japan.
Yeah, how about
was in
that?
World War II.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But that's the sort of change that you would need to see.
Yeah, and a lot of there was an article in Slate just sort of pointing to the fact that there's like this Berkeley BART station where they built up like the parking garage is like, you know, next level environmentally friendly with like, you know, has like rainwater capture and water treatment features and rooftop solar. And the thing costs like nearly $40 million to build.
Oh my God.
And they're sort of pointing to this as like, this is the kind of solution people just do is like, well, let's just pour money into this thing to make that better when there are actually like fundamentally greater issues. And it's not that the parking structure needs to be more environmentally friendly. Like, we have to rethink the way this shit is even laid out.
Sure. Here's something dairy farmers can do. We just got to get like a bunch of corks and plug up those cow butts because it's cow farts, right? It's really ruining everything here. That methane from the cow farts.
Just like Ali G said when he interviewed Ralph Nader that one time. He's like, I think he posed a question to Ralph Nader about, like, well, what about these cows? And he's like, well, I don't know how you could solve that unless you hooked a box up to a cow's asshole.
Yeah.
Like, so deadpan when he said, it's a great moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's at least interesting. Some people are pointing to it as like maybe being a Overton window mover, like changing the conversation at least so that people are now thinking about the problem of climate change in terms of changing the entire system rather than building a bunch of parking structures. So from that perspective, it could be seen as a win for the left.
And I think, you know, at the end of the day, just don't get so myopic in how you're looking at this thing right now. Like, literally, this is like one of the first real kind of plans to be like, hey, this shit's a problem.
Yeah.
What can we do to fucking even try and look at this and see what, like, fix this?
Yeah. And I mean, the Economist's piece that was critical of it was saying that, you know, there's still a chance for it to, you know, succeed, but that they think it should focus on climate change exclusively and not like put in all the stuff about universal basic income.
Like Green New Deal, right?
Mm. So, yeah, we'll see how it evolves. We'll be keeping an eye on it. But most presidential candidates for the Democratic nomination have come out in support of it. So it is going to be a, you know, it's not a non-factor regardless of what people are saying at the moment.
Yeah. And then when you read that study that came out about the, well, I don't know if one is to do with the other, but all the insect decline, like the insect population is
in
decline.
Oh, like the bees? There's more than just the bees we're losing?
Yes.
What else?
Like all insects, they're like decreasing every year.
I hate bugs, but I know they're important.
Right. Well, they say within a century, most insects could die off.
Yeah.
And that would be cataclysmic.
Yikes.
So it's not this, we got a lot of problems.
Yeah. I wonder how much of it is house flies around my house. Yeah, fuck those things up. No,
with your electric racket?
Yeah. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And warning, guys. Valentine's Day is coming up, fellas. Don't forget, it's on Thursday. Guys. I don't know.
Weird warning.
Yeah. Warning. Morning zoo style.
You could have leaned into that a little bit harder.
Well, it looks like you didn't want to do it.
I know.
Which is
I
good.
I hated it.
Or what you did is you didn't want to do the fully problematic version of that one.
Yeah.
Your instincts were right.
Okay. Good. So we wanted to just take a look at the state of Valentine's Day in America right now.
First off, let's take a poll.
Okay.
Valentine's Day, do y'all celebrate it?
Yeah.
Is it a thing that you go, it's Valentine's Day, time to do something?
Not really, not particularly.
Are you booed up right now?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's just a day for all kinds of love. This is what I would say in high school.
Oh,
I was like,
wow.
It's fine. You can just tell your friends you love them, tell your parents you love them, all of that. That's fine. Everybody gets too hung up on like, I'm so lonely for Valentine's Day.
Right.
Yeah.
Broaden it. Don't do romantic love. Just go, all love.
Yeah.
Like my mom would always get me a present on Valentine's Day.
Oh, really?
Which might
mom
be
sends
weird
me
to
cards
some people.
On Valentine's Day.
Well, yeah, my mom's like, Valentine's Day, here's your present. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Damn.
This is what
is your mom
is.
From Iran?
Yep. Yeah, both my parents are. Yeah.
And they fuck with like these holidays. Because my mom's from Japan.
Holidays.
She's like, Valentine, what?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here, bro.
But I think my mom just likes these holidays. She likes to go to like Home Goods and find like one thing to get me for any reason.
Excuse to go to Michael's.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
How hard do you go on Valentine's Day, Jack?
Not very. I have gone. It really depends on like where we're at and
like how busy you are. Yeah. Because y'all have two kids now.
Right, now we have two kids, and we've been married 10 years, coming up on 11. So.
What was like the first 5 years of marriage like?
There were some gifts.
Lexuses with a ribbon on the hood.
Exactly. Whoa. Always a Lexus with a ribbon on the hood, five in a row.
And but you would just pay somebody with a Lexus to pull up, put a thing on the hood.
That's right.
And that's what I would give you if I was doing better. Okay, right. See you later, Dave.
Bye.
Anna, what about you? Do you do Valentine's Day? Okay, that was a shrug. Yeah, I get it. When I've been in relationships, I understand, like, you know, time to do a little something. But I'm like not a very much a holiday person in general.
Right.
So I'm kind of like, what do I need that day to show you? When I rub your feet every day.
Oh, sure.
I crack your back every time you get home from work.
Well, yeah.
One thing we have specifically decided.
Not like a sexual way, like I'm cracking somebody's back.
Okay. One thing we have specifically decided as a couple is that going out to dinner on Valentine's Day is usually not worth it because
oh, terrible idea!
It's so hard to get reservations, and then
when you remember that night,
right? Well, and service is like 20 times worse. Like we figured this out after going out on Valentine's Day, like the first 6 years we were together, and now it's just like we've had enough bad. Yeah, the service is too thin. The kitchen staff is too thin, and it just seems like it's.
That's why I go to fast food, baby.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure.
Pick up a hot and ready pizza at Little Caesars.
Or cook a meal with Blue Apron. No, they don't sponsor.
They don't fuck that. So where are we at? What's the state of Valentine's Day now?
So people are celebrating it less and less, but they're celebrating it more expensively, apparently.
Oh.
Between 2009 and 2019, the amount that consumers plan to spend on Valentine's Day gifts increased by $60, which is far more than inflation. But the percent of the population in the United States that were planning to celebrate Valentine's Day went from 60% to 50%. So I wonder it's just
I think it's social media.
I think it's millennials.
Maybe.
No, but I think the more extravagant shit is because you can flex on people with it. Be like, look at how I set the house up.
Right. Yeah.
Look at where we went on a helicopter ride.
Exactly.
Or whatever. I think that it must have something to do if there's like the spending is going up.
Mm-hmm.
Because why get more extravagant? It's not that it's become more important. It's just more like, oh, if the prices have gone up, that means the stunt has gone up.
Right.
So yeah, I don't know.
It would make sense that there's 10% of people who are like, yeah, when you see what those other people are doing for Valentine's Day, it's not worth it to even try.
Right.
It's like, well, way too much. There's also a online resource. I think it's called the Internet.
Or Satellite Internet.
Internet released a map illustrating each state's top Google searches on Valentine's Day in the past couple of Valentine's Days. And the results are weird.
Like California, we out here, we just search Friendship Day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that makes sense to me.
I like that. Let's see. Nevada, Brazilian blowout.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Because you want your hair looking, I guess, hey, okay, a lot of people want that Brazilian blowout on Valentine's Day.
Texas, dirty Valentine's poems. All right, Texas.
Or Mississippi, quote about love.
Louisiana has to be my favorite because it's Hooters.
It's just...
very funny.
Is that also Illinois, too? I think Illinois also has Hooters.
Illinois also has Hooters.
Okay. I'm starting to see that. Who has, what about venereal disease in Arizona?
Arizona and Tennessee have venereal disease.
Wow.
What the fuck? That's so, I'm trying to think of what the reality is of a person where it's Valentine's Day and you're Googling venereal disease.
Especially that phrase, unless they lumped all venereal diseases under that category
who would go out to Google that phrase?
What is a venereal disease?
I don't know about
my
that.
Significant other just told me that they have a venereal disease.
Also, to all my Kansans, is that what people from Kansas are called?
Yes, Kansans.
Kansans, My heart goes out to you because the top search in Kansas is broken heart syndrome.
Oh, yipes.
What is broken hearts? Is that a real thing?
Yeah, people have died of broken hearts.
Yes.
Yeah.
What becomes of the broken hearted?
I just told you, man, they died.
They moved to Kansas where they farted. See, and that's how you make songs on the go.
Win.
Okay. And also, like, what is this? Idaho picked Bumble?
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Just, you know, trying to get...
Rhode Island got Steak and BJ Day.
Wait, that's a day?
Yeah.
That's a day, Steak and BJ.
Yep. Huh. Cool.
So that's
I wonder if that was that day was created with men or women in mind.
No, it was... I know exactly. It was made by, like, a San Diego radio DJ.
Of course.
It's like, what about for the guys?
Right.
Steak and BJ Day.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Uh-huh. You're here with toxic masculinity.
When's it gonna be Men's Day?
Yeah.
What about White History Month?
I think he was the first guy to say that. They got BET.
Right.
Well, and also Texas Roadhouse pops up a lot in different states. What is Texas Roadhouse?
I think it's a steakhouse.
And is it a classy place? Because Outback is also another place.
I think it's Red Lobster. Outback level chain steak restaurant. It's like a nice-ish, you know.
Texas Roadhouse, casual dining.
Fine place to take a date.
Okay. Well, I guess too, yeah, if you're in a state where like all your restaurants are like clustered around like those big sort of commercial shopping centers, you're going to get things like Outback's or Texas Roadhouse.
Right.
Or Red Lobster.
Or in Maine, The Bachelor.
Yeah.
What's happening up in Maine?
Also, Hawaii, this is so funny. Theirs is seafood near me.
Yeah.
You're on a fucking island,
you're
bro.
In Hawaii.
Everywhere.
Where does one find seafood?
Oh, man. Where do I go? Where do I look to find this mythical seafood?
Yeah.
And Vermont keeps it real. They search Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
There's also a trend of zoos that have, like, there are a handful of different places that do, like, revenge, spite celebrations.
Oh, there's so many more of those. That's what I thought you said you were going to say are up now. Anti-Valentine's Day.
Right. So there's... At various zoos, you can name a cockroach after your ex and then watch it be eaten by a meerkat.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's similar thing. You can name a venomous snake after your ex.
Oh, my God.
Can name.
What?
I know. That.
Yeah.
And then what?
Very dramatic.
And then just, I don't know, see them in a snake form.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, hold that one, Tiffany.
Right.
You fucking snake.
But then I guess you can post it on the website. So there's like some part of you that can believe that your ex went there to do it to you. And
is that the millennial thing? Is that what we're starting to do? Is we're, you know what I mean? Like maybe the spending is going up, but are we also now hand in hand introducing like just spite-based Valentine's Day celebrations?
Right. Well, millennials are getting married at a far lower rate because they're irresponsible.
Because they're broke.
Oh, right.
Sure.
It's because they're broke.
Or afraid of commitment.
Yeah, or they just don't care. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're not pushing marriage anymore. Are we pushing it still? No one's pushing
it. It's up to you. I think that's the thing is you just see people, because, I know so many people who have parents who have been like, don't get married young.
That's what
don't
parents
say
now.
Young.
Yeah,
don't
get married young. Yeah, they used to say, like, when are you going to get married?
Yeah, and they're like, no, enjoy it.
Yeah.
Right. There's Chick-fil-A is selling heart-shaped chicken nuggets.
That's what I was afraid you were going to say that.
And KFC is offering a Valentine's contest to win a Colonel skin rug, which is a bear skin rug, but with the sprawled out corpse of Colonel Sanders, like his hands,
I don't
head,
understand
and
this.
Feet.
I don't know. Oh, I'm looking at it. Okay.
Yeah.
It That's doesn't make morbid. Any more sense now that I've seen it.
Right. It's, they're like, who needs this?
Yeah.
Also, the way they have this like sexy couple in their silk nightgowns evening wear on it.
It's just the like Old Spice, like weird humorification of all brands.
Also, you know, shout out to Olive Garden. They have the breadstick bouquet.
Yes.
Mm.
Which I don't know how you need that or want that.
Oh, come on, man.
In a bouquet?
There's heart-shaped pizzas too, right? People do heart-shaped pizzas.
Yeah.
I think like Papa John's does heart-shaped pizza.
I wouldn't know.
No,
I don't pay attention to Papa John's.
Or you used
John's
to,
offerings.
But not anymore. Broken heart shaped pizzas now?
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about broken hearts now.
Yeah.
Are you going to do anything for Valentine's Day this year?
I don't think so.
I'm under
pressure. I'm going to make a meal.
That's what I was trying to say. I told Her Majesty, I said, I'll cook.
There you go.
And she's like, I want to go out.
Oh, no. I'm tell like, her how crowded it'll be.
That's what she I'm saying. I'm like, yo, I could do the butter poached lobster tail. You know what I mean?
Do that, yeah.
Or langostino, because I'm not going to tell her the difference. You know, it's just okay. Cheaper and frozen you know, sure. From the Caribbean. But yeah, I just feel like, you know, I think cooking is, I think if anything, it should just be about a gesture of love. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be spending. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because my love language is acts of service.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And my wife's love language is
yelling
acts
at
of
me.
Being prepared months in advance, which is something I am not great at.
That's why you have a Valentine's Day countdown tattooed to your hand.
Yeah, it is getting
one
out
day
of
closer.
Control. Well, how about you? Are you, Camille, are you planning on doing anything?
Not a thing that's like specifically for Valentine's. It's just the Valentine's happen to be on a Thursday that I'm free. And I've been wanting to go to Nerd Night. You guys heard about this?
No,
it's just Nerd
like,
Night?
Nerd Night is this thing at, I think it's at Busby's East. It's like a bar where they just get like people who are experts to volunteer and do like a lecture. It's basically school inside of a bar.
Whoa.
And
fun.
I love school. So they go do like a presentation on three different topics, and it could be just about anything. And they have like, since Valentine's Day is Thursday, they're doing like Valentine love related topics. It's about like, can machines love is one of them. And another one is
the
about
the search for signs of intelligent life partners in the universe.
Sure, yeah. And then the last one is about, I think about consent. It's about like erotic touch. And
presentation
I'm like, I don't
number
know if
three.
I want to hear about that one.
It's called Touch Me Once. No, not there.
Yeah. Huh. Yes.
It's erotic touch is a very unique form of interpersonal touch that can lead to feelings of disgust when the timing or context is inappropriate. Good. Yeah. Put people on the game who need this knowledge.
Sure. But yeah, that's we're going to Nerd Night.
Nerd Night.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy one.
Yeah.
What is the first one? Is it going to just be like those Super Bowl commercials where they're like, can machines love?
Oh, that little boy robot?
It's the summary says, what's so special about love that a machine couldn't do it? What are the limits of artificial intelligence that might keep it from crossing this emotional threshold or keep us from knowing whether it has?
Oh, this is going to be taught by a robot. So be prepared for that.
Would that be a future we want? With any luck, this talk will leave you with more provocative questions than it answers.
Yeah.
Huh. Then that's not very informative.
No. We'll probably spiral afterwards, and I don't want to touch my phone anymore
The expert is someone who works as a software developer and part-time computer science teacher.
Part-time.
Part-time computer science teacher sounds like someone who posts to Reddit a lot. Could be like, and I'm a part-time computer science
That's
teacher.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Kimmy, it's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
Where can people find you?
You can follow me on Instagram at ChildClown or Twitter at ChildClown_ because some other freak wants to be ChildClown.
ChildClown and then end with underscore.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who's the person who's squatting on the OG handle?
Is someone named Chris or Clark something? They have like one follower and their photo still a picture of an egg and like, I don't know.
Any tweets?
No.
See, those are
I got nothing.
Man, when people have like just the idea like, that's a good Twitter name.
Right.
And then they just do it and then they don't use it.
Ugh.
Right.
You should be able to, that's your brand. We got to talk
I gotta
to Jack.
I got to get
them. At Jack.
Something.
And you're named that because you're a birthday party clown, right?
Yeah, I'm a birthday party clown.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. You got me.
Yep. And my
wait, why are you child clown?
Oh, it's kind of stupid. I had this.
I'm a birthday party clown.
I'm a birthday party clown. It's that stupid.
It's kind of stupid.
It's stupid. You know how everybody had like blogs in middle school and high school?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all had blogs. I had a blog and it was called 4-Year-Old Teenager, which is so stupid. But my friend was like talking about my blog one day and she's like, oh, yeah, you have that blog, right? Child clown something? And I was like, no, but now that's me forever.
Now I do.
From a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Child clown.
Like,
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying or a post on Instagram?
Oh, I saw a bird this morning that was very cool. It's got a big mohawk. It's a bird with a black mohawk.
Okay, give us more.
And that's about it. I got to find this bird.
Is it eating a piece of bread? What's it doing?
No, it's just looking. It's just
a
side profile
view
of
a
bird. Sort of like an Elvis bird.
And what account is that?
This is Nuts About Birds.
Nuts About Birds.
Yeah. That's what's doing it for me today.
All right. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter. Let's see, where else? Instagram, at Miles of Gray, G-R-A-Y. In a tweet I like, this is from Ali Israel, at Dancer Ali. It says, white people love putting blackface on everything except for Jesus. So true. I mean, did you think he looked like some guy who was in Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros?
Right. Blue eyes, for sure. He was... If he had blue eyes, that would be the very first thing mentioned about him.
Yeah.
Like, even ahead of a virgin birth and him being the son of God, people would be like, holy shit, what the hell's going on with his eyes?
The sky, yeah. Where his father resides.
Yes. Right.
You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien, a tweet I've been enjoying. Let's give another shout out to Pixelated Boat, who tweeted, every time I read The Great Gatsby, the final paragraph brings me to tears. Breathtakingly powerful writing. And then he tweeted a screen cap of the last paragraph that says, I'm alive, said Gatsby, roaring past on a speedboat. He'd faked his own death and gotten away with everything. That's why they called him the Great Gatsby. Out of the way, current, he yelled at the water. This speedboat is bearing me ceaselessly into the future. Yeah. I like his work.
How does it actually end? Wasn't some seeing the light or some shit?
Yeah, green light then something about
something
the
or
currents beating against the future waves bearing us backwards. Yeah.
Thanks, Gatsby.
Nailed it. All right. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
This is from the band Show Me the Body. He wrote out to one of their tracks like a month or two ago. They just dropped a little new album, or maybe single, but it's called Camp Orchestra by Show Me the Body. And it's just some guitar to get you thumping and pumping through your week.
Do you think that's a reference to Stand By Me, or is it like more of a romantic Show Me the Body?
I don't know. I'm going to think about that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Get back.
Yeah, yeah. Let me just have a think on that.
Get back to me, re-show me the body.
Thank you.
Okay,
put that
cool.
in email.
All right. We're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. They try to put their drugs in me and get it blowing so I can reach.